Howdy, this is Luke Flowers, and you're listening to Master of One Podcast. You can find me at lukeflowerscreative.com.
To another episode of the Master of One Podcast, the podcast that knows there's a mystery afoot. Part one this week, we talk about IKEA's art event, Loaded, and Chronicles of Crime. I'm Andrew, your Master of Art and Design.
I'm Patrick, your Master of Television and Film.
And I'm Luke, your Master of Toys and Games.
Best press sleuthing suit on, because it's time to crack the case.
I'm on it.
Kick every episode off by going around the table, which is where we talk about something new, fun, and noteworthy about our weeks. And guys, it's like the first week that we haven't seen each other in a week.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like the, yeah.
It feels like the very first time.
Yeah.
It's weird. I actually have a story that I'm not going to share, but my body is going through withdrawals, not physically, but from like emotionally, the highs of being with people for the last 2 weeks and all the encouragement and all the affirmation. I'm a words of affirmation guy. So like I was like pumped and ready to roll with all that stuff. And then I get back and it's not like anybody's been mean or disrespectful or discouraging, but in the lack of such an abundance of that, I feel like lethargic and kind of depressed. It's like,
yeah, because when you're at an event, like I was thinking about the bridge, and if you try to walk from one end to the other during the bridge party, you're going to get stopped 10 times and people are going to want to have conversations and hug you and how good it is to see you and how awesome and blah blah blah. And yeah, you're right. You just,
and then you get home and nobody goes out of their way to sign up to talk to you.
Oh, you're out of town?
Here's what I realized. I'm not around anybody else that's funny.
Ever.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt.
Yeah.
There was no laughing happening. No, that's not
Matt's
quite
not
true.
Listening to this.
Yeah, 100%. No, it was good times. I miss you guys for sure.
I know.
Yeah, the events were great. I mean, honestly, so I didn't get to go to Crop, which we were represented at. Y'all were both there, and we did a bunch of interviews. I did get to go to Creative South. Creative South, I mean, best one yet. Absolutely. The interactions with people, getting to the hot seats.
Yeah.
The workshop, for those that got to participate with that, and that whole experience was just amazing. And so,
we're going to dialogue more. We're going to kind of give like a full debrief with a couple of hoodlums
on Thursday
later on in the week, but yeah, I agree, Patrick. It was really good.
So in the meantime, I'll just take it and go jump into my round the table. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
So first, before we get too far in this episode, I do want to make you aware of something awesome, and that is the swag that we now have at shop.mof1podcast.com. So this is an example of the stacked word bubble pen right there. And then this is the, I'm calling it the ghost hat. I know that we didn't talk about it, but I feel good about it. But these are two items that are now available on the shop.
The fact that we didn't instruct you to change the name means that we're good with it.
It must be fine. So that's two items on the shop. So if you haven't been there again, shop.mof1podcast.com. There's shirts and mugs and hats and tons of stuff. Go check it out. The pin especially, very proud of. Did we talk about the process on the show?
Yeah, a little
for that
bit.
Pin?
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
Yeah, just that kind of like see-through enamel that's like tinted. It's super cool. So pick those up.
It's beautiful
in person. The biggest compliment for me, anyway, as the designer of them, has definitely been
that I
from
wore it.
The handful of people that make pins like for a living, like this is one of the products they offer for their job. And when we've shown it to them or given it to them, they put it on right away and compliment it.
Yeah.
And so that for me is like, if you can get an artist to love your art, then that's a good step.
Sure.
Totally. Okay. I want to bring closure to a story This was okay. several years in the making. And y'all don't know about this. But this week I got a package. This package I expected to get something like a few months ago, and it never showed up. And I said, well, I guess that's it. Don't really care. You know, I just kind of dusted it off. And it came anyway. Here it is. The last package from the loyal subjects from the program. It turns out they wrote the wrong apartment on it, and it's just been sitting down in my apartment complex for a couple of months. Somebody finally caught the error today. They corrected it. I went to pick up a package, and then I ended up getting it. So I haven't even gone through it yet. So I'm going to try to, as gracefully as possible, show these items right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm excited or just over it, because this has been a long process.
So the first item is a skate deck. This is really the only thing I wanted. And this is the guy right
Skeletor.
Here.
Skeletor.
Luke, this is what you had,
yeah,
correct?
It's Skeletor. Yep.
Great.
Masters of the
there
Universe.
It is.
Yep.
Everybody, get a good look at it. In 13 minutes, it's going on eBay.
This is the next item. This is Lino and Snarf, the crystal orange.
All right.
Luke, is this exactly what you got?
I think I got orange. I'm not sure.
It's funny to me because Patrick does not like He-Man or Masters of the Universe or Thundercats.
Yep.
Like, none of these are properties that he is into.
So far, I don't care. But hold on. There might be something else in here. I feel it. There for sure is something else in here.
This is good radio.
All right, here we go. This is a clear blue Mega Man.
Hey, Mega Man.
Now, do you like Mega Man?
Nah, I don't care. Luke, did you get this? Did you get blue as well?
I don't know. I think
Luke,
so.
Luke, did you just mail me your box so I would feel like I had closure?
Yeah.
Also, he is going to expect cash on delivery.
Right.
Is there anything else in this box, Luke?
I don't think so.
Do you remember in the early 90s when every mail away deal, like commercial on Nickelodeon or whatever, at the end of it, it would say no CODs?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. For whatever reason, I heard a commercial like a couple days ago that said the same thing, and it totally took me back. Like, who is even doing that anymore? Like, how is that even? Why do they have to proclaim that? Is there anybody sitting around wondering if they can just bill me later?
Right.
You know, I remember in the early 90s purchasing this 1 year delivery for I get a toy like basically every month, and they just finished fulfilling it today. Anyway, okay, so that's it. It's closed out. All this stuff. I don't even think eBay will take it. I'm just gonna probably give it away.
Right?
Yeah, if anybody sees, if someone wants some of this stuff, then
just
dance
pay
monkey,
shipping.
Do something and I'll send it to you.
Just pay shipping.
Pay some shipping
COD.
And you know. I don't know. Make a gesture, and then beyond that, I'll talk about it more in depth once I.
That was a gesture.
Did you just make a gesture at me?
I'll
talk about it more in depth once I have TV and film again. But I did see the film Borg and McEnroe.
You must have loved it because you mentioned it quite a bit recently.
You've said it several times.
Yeah, I definitely recommended it. You know, it's for rent right now on iTunes and some other. Nope, that alert's not important. It's for rent on iTunes. That's what I did. Rent it off there. It really deals a lot with, in my opinion, the kind of loneliness of not having anyone that understands you. And for these guys, it's that when like the pressure is as intense as it could possibly be. So I think it's in a lot of ways a film about loneliness. But I thought it was captivating. So if you haven't heard of it, look it up. And if you have, just go see it. Borg versus McEnroe. And again, I'll talk about it more in depth if I get that category in the future. Andrew, why don't you take it?
Okay, I've been back for 4 days, and it's just been work. It's just been nonstop work, getting back in the swing of things, getting the podcast shop up and running, doing some work for a client who we're almost, like, we're rounding the bases. Patrick and I are rounding the bases on a client project, and we'll be glad to be up and running with that. It's live, but we have to do like some like the back end work now still. I finished up all but one episode of Transparent. So I'll be finishing that tonight after we're done recording. And I picked up these little guys.
Nice.
These, well, those are better than what I just got.
Yep.
Yeah. And this did not cost me emotional therapy. This, it's the Vinyl, V-Y-N-L, by Funko. It's their next release in this line, and it is Hellboy and Abe Sapien. And if you know me at all, you know I'm a big Hellboy fan. And so when I saw these guys, they just came out. When I saw these guys at GameStop, I was, it was like a no-brainer.
That Hellboy looks good.
They look really good.
Yeah.
And I like them because they come with a clear, like, acrylic base.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about them falling over. Like, a lot of the pops, well, some of the pops these days are coming with a base, but a lot of the pops, the early ones especially, they're so top-heavy that they fall over.
Right.
You don't have to worry about that with these. So I'm really excited. They're still in the box. I'm going to take them out and set them up. But, oh, my gosh, I love it so much. I went to Jimmy John's for dinner tonight.
Okay.
And okay. I thought you guys should know
that.
Go
on, man. Go on.
You guys go to... I know, Luke, you've kind of been Jimmy John's out.
Yeah.
Because it's so close to you.
Yep.
Patrick, do you ever go to Jimmy John's?
Absolutely. Those guys, I don't know if it's an us thing or if it's a country thing, they deliver so fast and they always like
their motto, man.
All the way.
So fast you freak.
Yeah, freaky fast.
So if I like need to eat lunch quick at work... They're only like two blocks away. Mm-hmm. And so literally, like, I'll place an order and within 10 minutes, they're there. It's yep. nuts.
Yeah.
Okay. So
this sounds like an advertisement. I genuinely am that impressed by it.
Yeah, but go ahead. Not
no, absolutely. Yeah. So I love Jimmy John's. They're not paying us to say that, but I do love Jimmy John's. They just changed their menu. Have you guys seen their menu?
No.
What changed?
Their in-shop menu. They're not offering anything new. But they changed the layout of their menu. I'm going to show it to you briefly. I'll see if you can see it. I'm going to get the main camera to see it first, potentially. Maybe. Come on. It's kind of blown out. Sorry, everybody. I'll send this picture to Luke, and you can maybe like overlay it here.
Okay.
But can you see it?
Not really.
Yeah.
So okay. So the general layout looks nice. And at first, when I walked in, I'm like, wow, that looks nice. It looks fresh. It's very clean lined. It's very nice looking. I have a big problem with it.
Why?
They have categorized their sandwiches into new categories.
Okay.
But in an effort to keep everyone's number the same number. So, like, if you're used to walking in, like, I typically get a bootlegger. So, like, I walk in and get a 14, no mayo, add cheese.
They're all
over
the place.
So now, yes, and so in an effort to keep everyone's number the same, the list now goes 8, 9, 10, 14, 16, 17, 7, 11, 12, 13, 15.
That's garbage.
And then 2, 4, 5, 1, 3, 6.
Yeah.
They're all over the place.
Why hold on to that? Why hold on to that?
Because of
if a new customer's coming in, that's awfully confusing.
It's very, even, and I'm an old customer, and it's still confusing. Like, wait a minute, like, where
just
do I...
for the time being, let someone say their number, and you, as the employee, just say the name of the sandwich back to them to confirm.
Right.
And then move on.
It's I've for years said it would be fun to work with and for Jimmy John's on their design department, because they're very fun.
Yeah.
If you ever sit in their shop, they have very fun sayings and really cool signage and stuff inside. And it's just playful and it doesn't take itself too seriously. But the food is genuinely very good. And it's simple. There's nothing crazy about it, nothing fancy. They're just fresh ingredients and great sandwiches. I'm disappointed in this design decision. It seems like in an effort to be intentional, which there was obviously thought. There was a conversation on sure. the back end of, do we just renumber these? Do we just do this? And they made the decision to do it the way they did it. And I think they failed on the design front.
It just seems like if you go often enough, if you're a regular that you just go in and like fire off your number, it doesn't seem like it'd take more than 2 or 3 weeks to correct the majority. The sure. second
you
thing is
you
could have just had
name?
Like,
You mean correct to say, to start saying the name and not the number?
Just getting, I think the majority of people will adopt the new system within just a couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. It was my point. You'd have 2 to 3 weeks of pain and confusion, and then the regulars would have been there enough to move past it. The second thing is you could have made it more fun by, like, this is a number 4, old 7. So if someone wants to say, hey, I'll take the old 7, then you know what it is, and you can, like, make that translation and then drop that in the future. But I think to not reference that this is an old system and to just put it in the new system, now how do you correct that problem? Now it seems like so much more pain to fix in the future.
Yeah.
So I think this is, I think there's one thing you guys are missing. The majority of people are not walking in or ordering, and so this doesn't impact any of them. They're ordering online, and they're ordering over the phone, and they're just saying the number that they want.
Yeah, but online, you don't just pick this. I don't just type in, I want a 6. I go find the one that's called right. El Pepe or whatever,
well,
and I
click
it.
Well, that's fine, though. It doesn't impact you, the changing of the menu board. All that impacts is their in-store customers, and I would say that is not the majority of their customer base.
I don't think that that's accurate. I don't know. Well, I think you're just making an assumption based on how you do it or how you've seen people do it, but I don't know that that's entirely accurate.
Well, that's fine. That's what I'm thinking.
But either way, that honestly makes it worse.
Why?
Like, why? Because if it's not impacting the people who are in the store as much, if you're saying that the majority of the people aren't interacting in store anyway, then what's the purpose of restructuring the menu to look the way that it
sure.
does?
Sure. No, I get that. That doesn't make sense.
You can drop all the numbers completely.
What?
I'm saying if we're only concerned about online audience, you could just drop the numbers fully for online audience and make them click the name. I mean, to me, the convenience of numbers is specifically for people in a drive-thru. Or like in person or whatever, I'll take the number 4. I don't have to
right,
like,
yeah.
because I can't reach up and push the thing that I want, right? So that's like a quicker indicator. I don't know. I think they just compounded a problem. I think
they
took something, they could have solved it, and here's what they've done. They've introduced technical debt. They've said we want to have less resistance now, but we've instead created a bigger problem that we have to solve a year from now. So I think it's an instance of technical debt.
Yeah. All that said, I think spoke a little strongly. I think you, maybe in your area, it is more online and on over the phone ordering because people live in the tundra of Ohio and no one wants to leave their house.
Listen.
But here, a lot more people, I think, go into the store.
Okay. Even in the store, it just looks bad. It doesn't necessarily really change much, right?
Right. It's functionally not any better. It's worse.
Why is it worse?
Why is it worse?
Yeah.
Because the numbers are all over the place. And so when you're walking in, you're trying to decipher, like, the 5 doesn't immediately precede the 6. They're in two separate parts of the menu now. Like,
I think that speaks more to your need for that cohesiveness. Your OCD.
And it speaks to my need for
a linear,
too.
A linear list order? That's how...
Yeah, but I think if anybody comes in and says, why are your numbers all over the place? And they just say, well, that was based on our old number system. We kept the numbers so people didn't have to relearn their sandwiches. That's easy.
Yeah, but and what I'm saying is I think I agree that's what they did. That is technical debt. And I think that's it. This is not on you, Luke. This is on Jimmy Jones. I think that's a dumb decision. To say, oh, that's our old dinosaur of a system. We're just leave it in there. I think that just makes this weird larger problem that, again, they could have with the regulars, with the people that are in there most often, it would have taken somewhere between 2 to 4 weeks to convert them over. But now they put something in place that's not only kind of confusing for them, but it is very confusing for future customers.
Yeah. Anyway, I say all that to say it's the first... The first instance where I've looked at Jimmy John's design decisions and I just disagreed with them.
Is it possible
doesn't make sense.
It's only your local Jimmy John's and this isn't a national thing?
I guess it's possible. I haven't been to every Jimmy John's. The only one I went to tonight was the one that was here.
But that photo you took with your phone, it wasn't something you had online, right?
Yeah, I took it in the store.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the guys, I should say this for the purposes of the conversation. the entire staff that worked there recognized how dumb it is. And in fact, one of the guys behind the thing, which I disagree with this from a business perspective, so I'm not condoning this, but he said, you should call and complain about it seriously. I'm not gonna call anyone and complain about it. But every person who was there were three people working there at the time that I could see up front. All of them commented on how messed up it is, and they don't know why they did it the way they did it.
That's a good distinction, because I wouldn't take the time to call and complain because I really don't care that much. That's a pretty good metric for how important something is. Like, is it worth calling a stranger to complain about it?
And now, if I were to meet the guy who's responsible for it, I would say,
"Hey, just square up and hit him."
I would say, "Hey, why do we go this direction?" And I say "we" because I'd like to think that I've contributed enough money to be a stockholder at this point.
Yeah.
Can I play devil's advocate for just a second?
I mean, that's what you do every other time.
Please.
You don't want to call and complain, but you're going to use a platform that has possibly more impact to complain about it.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, this is garbage. This is a stupid decision by Jimmy.
I'm just saying that's
and John.
Here's the deal. No. Calling and complaining does what? I'm not going to call them and ask them to change it. I'm not talking on this platform to get them to advocate for them to change it.
Right.
I am just talking about my feelings of being in there and feeling like it was not a cool decision. I don't need to call them and just say, "Hey, I didn't like this decision." Now, if I thought I wanted them to change it and actually do something with it, I would call them and not just talk about it.
You
on
don't
a podcast.
Want them to change it?
What? No. Why? I mean, like, what does it matter ultimately?
That's what I'm asking. That's what I've been asking this whole conversation.
Okay, no. You out.
No.
No, but listen, something can be a bad decision, but it doesn't mean that it needs to like drop what you're doing and change it right now. We can separate those two things.
I don't like how you're turning you're trying to flip the cards back on me or flip the tables back on me.
I'm not at all.
I mean, you kind of are the way that you're presenting that, like, hey, I've been saying that the whole time.
Why does it matter?
It's not about whether or not they should change it. It's about why they made the decision in the first place. And considering this is a design podcast, and I'm representative of the design community, right, in this podcast, this is absolutely my prerogative to talk about a design function of a company that I love and whether or not I agree with the function and flow of it without me having to go to bat or go toe-to-toe with the actual company and try to get them to change it. Okay. I think there's a big distinction between that. Anyway, all that said, I got a cool toy, and I still ended up eating my sandwich after I figured out their menu.
But it tasted terrible.
It just tasted worse for some reason. Okay, that's you, Luke. Take it.
I came back with the con bug. So I've been sick this whole week. I've had a fever and a runny nose and a cough, and it's been bad.
Is con bug a thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're around so many people. If you're not like drinking enough water or...
See,
taking
you have
like
kids. I just feel like every possible disease is constantly in and out of your house 24/7.
No, that's not true. Not every single one. Most, but not every single one.
Okay.
But yeah, so I've been that, but we've had 2 days of like all day shoots for website photos we've been working on for a company. So I haven't been able to like relax at all. I've had to be like on the whole time. And so when I get home, I just collapse. But I did start watching one new show, which I'll talk about later. But really, that's about it, man. God of War comes out on the 20th. That game has incredible reviews. Hopefully, I'll be able to pick it up and play through it and not bawl like a baby because it's about a dad and a boy and his son.
It's about a dad, a boy, and his son.
No, a dad and his boy, his son is what I meant. So yeah, because I have two boys, I don't know. It's supposed to have a really good story, so we'll see. Other than that, man, Super Troopers 2 comes out. I'm excited about that.
It's out now.
It's out. As of an hour ago, it was out in limited release. It'll be full release. I guess people hearing
wait.
Yes, it's out.
Limited release?
No. As far as we're recording on Thursday, pre-release. It comes out Friday the 20th, full release.
Oh, okay.
That's the distinction I was making. You were saying people listening on release day, it's out. You can see it. So go see it.
Yes.
Well, maybe go see it if you like that stuff.
Come on. It's Broken Lizard. It's going to be good.
What is Broken Lizard?
No. That is not... What
is a Broken Lizard?
It's the company that makes all those movies. Super Troopers.
Yeah. It's the company Club Dread, behind...
Like all
Beer Fest, I think, was them. Yeah. And the one on the island. Oh, you just said the one, the island one.
Club Dread.
Yeah. Beer Fest.
Slam and Salmon.
I do like a lot of the Broken Lizard films. I was just saying that it is definitely a certain style movie. It's not like a universal, we can all agree they're great films.
No.
This is about my opinion.
I'm not saying I think they're great, so I know it's going to be, I'll laugh and I'll love it. So I'm excited to see it.
I'm afraid to see it because I think I have a picture of what these films are. And but it's been so long. I mean, it's been the better part of a decade since I've sat down and watched one of their films. Uh-huh. And I'm afraid that if I sit down and watch one now, that I'll just feel like I'm not in on the joke anymore and I'll be miserable.
Oh, well, maybe. Who knows? I think it'll be great. I'm excited to see it. So,
hey, I do want to throw out one thing. For those keeping up with Barry, the reading of Glengarry Glen Ross is one of my favorite things that's
absolutely
happened on TV.
I want to see that whole movie. I want to see a whole movie redone that way. I think it would be brilliant.
And that's, I felt the exact same way, like, because that's like a 7.5 minute scene from the actual film. I want to see all 7.5 minutes with that personality.
So good. So good.
I haven't seen the episode yet, so I don't know. You keep referencing it. I think this is the fourth time I've heard you reference it in the last, like, 3 days.
It's because it's so good.
I don't have any frame of reference.
Make
for it
sure,
yet.
If someone's going to watch the episode and they don't know what Glengarry Glen Ross is, if you Google it, this will be the first scene that pops up. It's like a 7.5 minute scene of like this group of people that like sell real estate getting berated, basically. And so make sure you watch that first and then watch the Barry scene. That's all I'll say.
So great. Okay. Yeah, that's
all right. Well, that's it for our round the table. Up next, we will be talking about some master categories. Every week, our Master Category section is the time of the show where we get to talk about the tokens we drew the week before. And last week, we had our good friend Josh Ariza on the show. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to it. It is live from Creative South at the table.
It's flat.
I was disappointed that his...
Patrick,
why
talked
didn't
right
hear his
over
whole talk.
Table.
No, that's what you do. I didn't hear his whole talk. But the part I didn't hear... The part I didn't hear... didn't mention diarrhea very much. And I was disappointed because we talked about it in our episode. It didn't seem to carry over.
Yeah, that was a joke.
I know, but I was like, man, what a cool point of view. Like, I was really pumped for that talk. And as soon as I realized we weren't getting diarrhea in the talk, I left.
Oh, yeah, that sounds logical and reasonable.
Yeah, it sounds just more like a dick move.
All right, so Josh picked our tokens for us. Again, go back and listen to that episode. We'll just say it this way. That episode starts with the connection that air horns are the strobe lights of sound. Like, and it goes on from there. So if that sounds appealing to you, it was just ridiculous and so much fun. He's like one of my favorite people in the world.
He's a good one.
Because he's super talented. He's super, he has a ton of skill. He's very successful. He's like ultra good looking. He rocks that jean jacket like a freaking champ. And he's just such a nice guy. So he's completely unassuming.
Are you calling his body a jean jacket? Because like DNA and jeans, like the jacket that his jeans are in?
Yeah. All of that.
I had to find a picture of him for the website to put together like the artist bio on like the archive page or whatever. And I just I was purposely trying to find a picture where he looks stupid and they don't exist.
No, they do.
Even when he's doing something stupid, he's like the most perfect version of someone doing that.
No,
it's
I agree with that, but I do have this photo of him, which is arguably my favorite.
I almost asked for that photo, but
we should have used that photo.
YouTube crowd, if you're listening the audio only, you have to pull up the video just to see this photo.
Send it to me and I'll put it in.
Okay. I will. I'll send you that. Anyway, he picked our tokens for us. That was the whole setup to that.
Okay.
And Luke, you got
TV and film.
Yeah, tell us about the film.
All right. So I had mentioned that I was a lot of sick and working this week, but I did get to start a new show on Netflix. I got to start the show Loaded. It's a TV series. Have either one of you heard of it?
No.
Okay, so
no.
It's a British show adapted from a Israeli comedy. But AMC bought it and aired it here in June of last year, and it's on Netflix now. So the story of the show.
Interesting.
The story of the show is it's these four guys who are tech entrepreneurs. They make this app and become millionaires, multimillionaires.
Silicon Valley.
Nope, it's different.
I have seen Silicon Valley.
Okay, cool. It's not that.
Silicon Valley's been doing that for like three seasons.
Different.
Now.
It's different. Slightly different. But yeah, it's only 8 episodes and I'm on like episode 3. And so far it's, pretty funny. It's, I don't know. It's four guys like just getting into, situations and, funny things happen and I like it and I laugh. And that's about it. It has nobody that I recognize. Well, that's not true. There is one person I recognize. Mary McCormick, she plays like their boss. She works for the company that bought them. And you know her as Kate from West Wing, and she was like in Deep Impact and a couple other movies. You've seen her before.
So wait, I'm sorry. Yeah. Is this a British show that is re-airing, or is this a remake of a British show, but it's an American version?
It is a British show airing on American television.
Okay. So the style of humor, is it like
British
IT Crowd style of humor?
Yes.
Is it okay?
Is IT Crowd a British show?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
did you ever watch that show?
I don't like it. No.
Okay.
The show's, I mean, that show I hugely recommend.
Yeah, the show's great.
But also, I just think Richard Iotti he can do no wrong. It's like that because it's how do I say this? IT Crowd is a. Punny is not the right word.
Right. It's not as silly as IT Crowd, but it does have more of that humor that doesn't quite translate over.
Does it have the cringy nature of the British version of The Office?
No.
Okay.
I love this.
What's happening?
I'm dying.
What's happening?
He's sick, man. It's actively kind. Dying. It's, cold.
I don't want... He's being bungholed?
Con cold. That's what it's called.
It's actually called the con flu is what it's called, but I'm not throwing up. So
con cold.
It's called the con flu. But that's it. On a lighter note, Patrick, why don't you tell us something?
On a lighter? Oh, a lighter note than you being sick?
Yep.
Hey, I'm sick.
And now, on a lighter note...
All right, so I'm going to talk about the IKEA Art Event 2018. So this kind of was lucky on our part. So the idea is that IKEA is doing a limited run of
IKEA.
Say it again.
Idea IKEA.
Yeah, when I kept typing IKEA. It into my show notes, it kept trying to tell me what I was trying to say.
So what IKEA is doing for 2018 is that they got 8 different what they consider contemporary artists, and these are artists that work with games and like comics and
toys.
I'm about to name a couple of the artists, and you'll understand it. But they're letting them lend their style to a crystal glass figurine. So they're basically trying to mash up these two things that you wouldn't consider together or you wouldn't put together normally.
Right.
And so it's this like Swedish art glass, hence the IKEA tie-in. And so they had 8 artists do this, and this released in April, and you can only buy these figures in store. So again, there's 8 available, 1 from each of these artists. And it just so happens that we were all traveling together for Creative South. We had to go through Atlanta. There's an IKEA in Atlanta. And since it just released the week before, we decided to stop in and see if we were lucky enough to snag a piece. And wouldn't you know it, they still had pieces left. So I picked up two pieces. Andrew, you picked up two pieces. And so let me just go ahead and show off the two I picked up. So first, as far as the artists involved, and you know what? I think since there's only eight, that I can probably tell you all of their names. That would, I can probably go that far. So first, let me tell you a couple of the ones I didn't get. There's a piece by James Jarvis that's like a peace sign that's in, again, this like crystal, this glass. There's Ludwig Lofgren, and it's like an eye. And that piece, I would say, is maybe more of what I would expect from this medium, if you remember it, Andrew. The third person
I
is...
I don't remember it. I was
it's
so...
It's a clear eye with a blue eyeball.
Okay, but I do remember ahead. That. I was so excited to actually find it that I honestly... This is going to sound weird or like or hyperbole. It's really not. Like I honestly got tunnel vision and I got so focused. All I wanted was Ledbetter. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you guys were both focused on just finding the boxes.
Yeah. And when that happened, I wasn't paying attention to anything else. I was just happy to have it. I had it in my hand and then instantly started thinking, how am I going to get this on the plane?
Like that was light.
No, I mean, it's glass, right? So
this whole trip started with you saying your suitcase was at 50 pounds on the dot, and then you picked up two blown glass figures. The third artist, Junko Mizuno, and this shape, I don't know how to explain it exactly. It's based on a vintage figurine, and from the early 60s or 70s, that's kind of like the style it's supposed to be, and it's all this like slight blue tint to it. But it does have a little like gold overlay just on the face area. It looks like a female figurine.
That one was really cool. I do like that one.
Yes, absolutely. This one I don't remember seeing. This is Michael Lau. And it just looks like a almost like a ghost. It looks kind of like someone draped a sheet over them. And so it's kind of got that.
Oh,
like,
that was there. That was there for sure.
Yeah.
So that's apparently where I had tunnel vision because I totally missed it. And then, Nathan, I always say this name wrong and I've had several pieces by him. I had two Flocked Owls Kid Robot figures by him, but Juravicious. And so again, it's one of his owl figures, similar to the Kid Robot 3-inch that were available. And,
feels
I think
lot
the
like
idea was like they reached out to these artists, right. Like we already said, Joe Ledbetter. I think they reached out to these artists and said, do your quintessential, you know, do the thing that you are famous for, but do it in glass for us.
Right.
Yeah. And then this last one, Arkiv Vilmansa, this is not someone I've heard of, probably just butchered the name. But this one is like a, how do I say it? It looks almost kind of like it would be the top of like a jellyfish or something like that.
It looks like a melted like mushroom from Mario.
So I was going to say the colors look like a mushroom from Mario. So that's six of them. So the other two artists you're going to be more familiar with probably because we've talked about them a lot more on the show. And that's Course and then Ledbetter. So I'll show the Course piece first. These are the two I actually have. I can show them on camera. So this is a great time to watch on YouTube. So this is the Course piece right here. Let me see if you guys can see this. Okay. There you go. So the idea behind this piece, and if you go on the website, on Kia's website, even though you can't buy them online, they list them online and they have a note from each one of the artists about the inspiration behind the piece. But the idea behind this piece was that foxes are they're sneaky and they're, you know, they can attack and things like that. But this is supposed to be the kind of outcast opposite. This is the gentle, calm fox that wouldn't, you know, do anything or fight anybody, the kind of sitting off to the side. And so this is from the duo at Course. Again, it's a kind of a fox curled up, almost like you'd imagine the Firefox logo, except not laying flat. And it's blue, and the blue, it looks like it's heavier at the bottom, so it has this nice little fade to it. So that's that piece. The second piece, and this is going to be... For me, it feels the most iconic only because I've been looking at Ledbetter stuff more often. But the second piece is this bunny by Ledbetter. So, again, if you're familiar with Ledbetter, you're familiar with this shape. I'm going to tell you his words because I don't want to say it wrong. Let's see. So this is the sculpt that he says put him on the map as a designer. And so because of that, he wanted to go with this sculpt for his glass piece. Now, one thing I thought was interesting is the way they described Ledbetter, because they described his works as really highlighting or illustrating the human condition. And I thought that was really interesting because a lot of his works are like bunnies with bones sticking out or with like swords or chainsaws. It's like this mismatch of this like nice, happy, positive character mixed with something. It's like with a twist of like dark or creepy, or creepy might be too strong of a word. So I just thought it was funny that their description was him illustrating the human condition, which to me that would mean that he illustrates things that are twisted. So
yeah, that's an interesting. Luke, would you have ever?
Well,
you've been a Ledbetter follower longer than we have.
Sure. I mean, Joe has always said in interviews that he likes to take things and play with, like, putting those characters in real life situations. And if they seem dangerous, it's okay because they're cartoons. So I can see maybe that's the translation of human condition. He does more stuff that's not related to like the Chaos series too. Could be some of that stuff. But yeah, I don't know if I would use those words. Like, if I don't know, I don't think I would have come up with that phrasing to talk about his work, but I can maybe see a little bit of a correlation there.
So anyway, those are the pieces that was pretty in depth, but these are you have to buy them in person. They're at major IKEAs. Each one is $29.99. I mean, that's what they cost a piece. And so if you can find them, you need to go now, because when we were there, assuming they had everything out on the shelves, they probably only had something like 20% of their stock left. If that. And so, I mean, we were pulling off like the back of the bottom shelf. That's what we were pulling these from. And again, they are limited edition. On all the material, it says limited edition. I don't know what the runs are because I haven't seen where they've published the runs, or I've just overlooked it. But the point is, if you want one of these pieces and IKEA is near you, you need to go ahead and get out to an IKEA to pick one up. The other thing is, if you aren't near an IKEA, right now they're selling online for somewhere between like 60 to 70 a piece. So you probably pick one up that way. But again, they are still in stock. Once they're not in stock anymore and they start settling with the people that want them, I imagine the price might go up a little bit. But again, I don't know the actual quantity. But very, very cool pieces. I just like them because I can keep them out in like the other parts of my house, and Mackenzie's okay with it. It's fine with her other decor.
They look great together.
More grown up. So,
those two specific ones look great together.
I would never place them together in my house.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But like the colors work so well together.
They do.
I mean,
but I think they would look, I don't know. I think they can each stand on their own as a piece. So that's why I put them in separate places, so that you get more
just booked out of something.
Them. Sure.
All right. But they are heavy.
I think that's
like, these things, you could murder someone with this. That's my metric for if something's heavy or not.
Cool.
Is if I think.
Listen, I can murder somebody with a knife and it's way lighter.
That's true.
But I'm saying, given how. YouTube audience just got to see your form.
I just knifed our YouTube audience.
Can you imagine if, like, tomorrow you wake up, cops are outside. So I didn't know this. Josh Ariza had someone die outside of his office. This happened like 2 years ago. I was reading his blog today, or yesterday when I was doing the post. And I came across it. We have to ask him about it next time we talk to him. But, Andrew, tomorrow, if one of your neighbors comes up dead and they were stabbed like 40 times, just because of this recording, you're a primary suspect.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Yeah. I stand by that.
I wouldn't have said that. This is an active investigation.
Listen, if they're stabbed, if the way that they were stabbed and the way they determined they were stabbed was by a 5'11 man holding his arm straight up from his own chest and just going straight at him, then honestly, I may have sleep killed somebody, because that's how I would do it.
And Patrick,
all right.
The same thing though. If those guys that keep smoking outside in the hallway wind up bludgeoned to death, you're on the hook.
Especially if it is shaped like a bunny.
Right.
Like if yeah. there's like an imprint on the face that is like, tell whatever. Me that doesn't, I mean, I don't know what profile this is.
Tell me that doesn't make you want to eat a large gummy bunny.
Oh my gosh. I've already tried to eat this 3 times.
You're an idiot. All right. So I have toys and games and, I backed a game on Kickstarter. It is no longer available. It will become available again. Once the game comes out and they do all this stuff. So I don't have the game yet, but I do want to talk about it because I just got an update today, from, for the backers. It's a game called Chronicles of Crime. And Chronicles of Crime is a cooperative game of criminal investigation that mixes board game and an app, like an actual technology app, with a touch of reality, virtual reality to it.
Yeah.
They say this: you and your team will put on crime glasses, moving all around town, interviewing suspects or witnesses, and searching for clues in 3D scenes. So there's an actual physical board, and there are storylines that go along with it. And honestly, the thing that I think about is the Office episode where they're trying to keep everybody distracted because everything might go bankrupt, and so they play that murder mystery game.
Right.
In Savannah. It reminds me a lot of that in terms of how the scenarios go. There are currently 9 unlocked scenarios that are coming out with the game if you backed the game and did like their biggest backing. But each character can be used in multiple scenarios because each character has a QR code.
Mm-hmm.
And you scan the QR code when you're telling the story, when you're going through the story. And depending on what storyline you're going through, it gives you different clues, different setups, different things that those characters are saying.
Right.
But it's still all a total board game. So you have actual character cards. You have a map on your board. You have clue cards. You have various things. But everything has a scannable QR code. And they give you... these VR glasses that are specific to the game that you put over. There's not like a full headset. It just kind of covers just a spot for your eyes to be able to look through your phone and look at their scene and see the crime scene in 3D. And so you're looking through right. and trying to discover things.
That's very cool.
I'm like way excited. If you go to Kickstarter, .com and just search this game, even though you can't back it right now, go take a look at it. It is beautiful. It looks like a lot of fun. I'm trying to get down. I'm trying to scroll through. Here's a couple of the different scenarios. The White Collar in Red, Devil's Kitchen, Vampire in the Fog, Community Driven Scenario. Nope. That's a descriptor. Hang on.
Internet connectivity problems.
404 error. Yeah, I'm red. That actually embarrassed me because I'm a stupid idiot. All right.
Vampire only for in the YouTube fog. Crowd.
Welcome to Red View. Welcome to Red View comes with like an like actual ambient music that plays throughout nice. The whole game because it takes place in like an arcade, and so you're hearing sounds and things. Noir, and those are the ones I think I can see right now. So Noir, the character cards that they show on the Kickstarter page. They were my least favorite looking characters, even though noir seems to be, would be like one of my favorite genres
right.
of this style of kind of mystery solving, clue solving games. But here's what's awesome. They sent a backer update today. And okay. in the backer update, they said, hey, we saw some of your, I don't know, we saw some of your requests or your feelings feedback about the game.
Yeah,
your feedback. And so are you guys looking at it right now?
Huh?
I'm going to be honest. I got distracted by Dinosaur Island.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to talk about Dinosaur Island too. So go look at this game real quick because I want you to see what it was. So scroll down the page until you see the scenarios. It's under like it's underneath all of the unlocks and everything.
I'm having.
You have to tell me. I'm going to be honest. You have to tell me the name again.
Son of a bee.
I got so distracted by the colors called, of dinosaurs.
It's called Chronicles of Crime.
Oh yeah, you said that.
You should really listen to our podcast, Patrick. It's,
Have you seen the colors on this other game?
Fairly popular.
Okay, I'm looking at Chronicles of Crime.
I spelled crime C-H-R-I-M-E.
That's not right.
Nope.
All right, so scroll down.
Okay, I'm trying
to find
the... Okay, I'm under community-driven scenario.
Okay, do you see noir?
I'm looking for... Yes, I see noir.
Okay, do you see noir, Luke?
I do.
Okay, so you see those characters.
Yeah.
Yes.
The artwork is not terribly great.
Yeah.
Okay, They hired a new artist. Here's the new artwork.
Well, that looks better.
Focus. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
That guy looks like Rhett Butler. He's like straight up.
Do you know who the artist is?
No. So I reached out. So, oh, sorry. I should show this to the YouTube
crowd. Wait, is that the head of, what's it called? Planet, the newspaper?
Yeah, it's J. Jonah Jameson. My camera is a little too bright to pick up the tones of that, but it's beautiful. The new, I want to reach out to the artist and have him paint us because okay. It's so stylized.
I know what you mean,
so
great, but yeah. Everybody else is confused a little bit.
Why?
I don't know. It sounds like a weird thing to say.
Why?
Yeah, I'll say it again.
What? I don't know what I said. Painted? That's confusing.
I want to have the artist paint us.
That's pretty straightforward. Everyone who listens to the show, most of the people who listen to the show know that we have characters made of ourselves from different artists.
Okay.
At this point in the game. I mean, if this were like episode 50, maybe people wouldn't know that, but we've had three different versions of ourselves on the internet for the last 4 years.
By episode 300, they'll for sure know that.
They will for sure know that. Yeah. Which, by the way, episode 300 is coming up in 3 weeks.
Yeah, something like that.
We should do something special because that's like 100 episodes per person.
Per person. I know that I wasn't on about 100 of them, so.
I know that you haven't. Never mind. All right, so.
Listen to at least 300 of them.
Yeah. Anyway, Chronicles of Crime. I'm really excited to play it. It's one of those games that I backed and I forgot about it. and then I got the update and got really excited because I remember thinking noir looks like a lot of fun, but the artwork isn't my favorite. And it's put out by Lucky Duck Games. And they were listening to the feedback of the backers and whoever the old artist was for that, I'm sorry, buddy. Looks like you got fired, but, whoever the new artist is, hooray for you. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of your work, put
they
out
literally
there.
Ran out of stretch goals.
They did. They raised $795,000 to back this game. Outdone only by the game that Patrick was so enamored by that he could not wait to look at it. It's Miami Vice, the board game.
It's dinosaurs.
It's Dinosaur Island totally. Oh, crap. What's the word? Totally something.
No, back from extinction.
No. Maybe.
It says totally liquid.
Totally liquid. That's what it is.
But
yeah.
Then the title above it says Back from Extinction. They've raised $1.78 million.
Yes. And by the time you listen to this, it'll be done. Sorry. It has like 24 hours left.
Why did I even go to college? All I had to do was make a board game.
That is all you have to do. But this game looks like so much fun, too. The whole game is designed in like 80s style. Like it's straight out of... It's straight out of the 80s, but it just looks like a lot of fun. I don't have time to go into the whole breakdown of it. Maybe we'll get it and we can review the game later. But it's highly, highly reviewed. It's a newer version of a game that's already out called Dinosaur Island. This has some updates to it. And then it comes with a new setup, which is Dulasaur Island, which is just a two-player competitive mode. That you can do. But anyway, I'm not going to go into that. But that's, if you were wondering why Patrick was so distracted, go look up Dinosaur Island, Back from Extinction. Totally liquid. All right, that's it for my category. That means that's it for the categories, which means that's it for the episode.
Andrew, you can borrow $150?
Yes.
It's unrelated to anything we've talked about tonight.
And I'm going to need it transferred within the next 27 hours.
Yeah. I have a cocaine habit. Now that I'm playing Miami Vice Dinosaur Edition. Did you look at the artwork, Luke?
What?
Did you go look at the artwork for Dinosaur Island?
Yeah, I've seen it. I'm not interested in it, honestly.
I need a white blazer where the sleeves are three-quarter length.
Okay. Length. You trying to be Don Johnson? Not,
the sleeves aren't three-quarter length. They would pull their sleeves up.
Oh. It's not like Capri.
Andrew, you have to remember, he wasn't born in the 80s.
That's true.
I was born in the 80s. I wasn't born in the 70s with Luke, but I was born in the 80s.
I wasn't born in the 70s with Luke either.
Yeah, you barely missed that.
This episode was brought to you by friendship.
you can find us on... Matt Kendraw said he feels like he's the oldest person in the community, and it was all I could do to not make a Luke age joke.
Hey, happy birthday to our friend Jared Mariama, who turned an age that you would never believe. I texted him and was talking to him, and I could not believe it.
He's 55.
Yeah.
Hair looks 17.
Yeah.
There you go, Jared.
Can I finish the outro?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. You can, but I have to let you know first, my birthday's in 2 weeks. That's the reason this is so on my mind, is I'm about to be an age older.
Yeah, 31.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, Patrick's going to be 31. So if you feel bad for him...
Don't.
You can find us at mofonepodcast.com, where you can find show notes and links to all the stuff we just talked about. If you're watching this on YouTube, just check the links below. There should be some fun photos that you've seen along the way, some videos you've seen along the way for this episode. Lots of stuff we've talked about for you to go purchase, spend your money. If you ever buy anything because you've listened to the show, let us know. We want to hear about it. We want to know that what we're doing is... working. I don't know. That's not really, it's a measure, it's a gauge, I guess. But you can support the show at patreon.com/mf1podcast.
Well, it tells, it tells us if people care about what we talk about.
That's true. Yeah. And if enough people care, then maybe the company will take notice.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is true. You can also find us at MF1 Podcast on all the different platforms. Go to our new Discord channel, which is at mf1podcast.com/family to join the conversation in there. I think we're like bridging on 100 people mm-hmm. from our original 300 person community have transferred over.
Yep.
There's some stragglers and maybe some people who have fallen off. So there are right now is the strongest 100 that we're ever going to have yeah. because these are people who are eager and who are new to it. And there's conversations happening.
People like each Jay and every Barletta, day. People like Jared Mariama, people like Ryan Davis, people like Ross Pate, all kinds of people.
I love you, Ross.
I was hoping that you just started reading through a list and I was just going to wait for you to go through all 93 or whatever.
We have two new patrons I should tell you about because that's what I do. One of those is Bethany Heck. That's
She's
right.
She's great. Can I pause?
Yeah, you can. Absolutely.
I did an air horn into the microphone yeah. as if that mattered.
Yeah, it does.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so one is Bethany Heck. Bethany Heck is one of our newest Patreon Thanks, members, Bethany. Or our newest patrons. You'll know her from such hits as the Font Review Journal and Medium. She's an incredibly great designer. Yeah, and Microsoft. And go look her up. Search Bethany
She's
Heck.
She's done some things.
She's done yeah. at least something that you've used.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And better than you would have done it.
Yep.
The other person...
That's aggressive.
well, yeah. Hey.
Hey. Yeah.
Mariana Kuntz. I almost...
That is dangerous territory.
Walking a line. But she's Freezing. Also one of our latest patrons as well.
Thank you.
I'll just use the name Mariana. I'll just stop there. But thank you to our two new patrons. If you support us on Patreon, then we will read your name on the show, and you'll feel better about yourself. Go on, Andrew.
Mariana, thank you. I did not know that. I'm yes. learning this for the first time, and I'm excited.
Right.
That's all. You can find us all ever. Have I said everything already? Yeah. I think we did.
Yeah. Emma One we'll Podcast. That's us.
We'll just move. We'll just keep going along. subscribe, rate, review, like, share, post, follow. All of those things help us so, so much. So if you're saying, man, I'd love to contribute to the show, but I can't throw in a couple dollars each month, or hey, I would love to really help you guys, but I can't buy a shirt or I can't buy a hat or whatever. This is free, doesn't cost you anything, but just a little bit of time, and it helps us out so, so much. So just if you're listening to the show and you like what you hear and you haven't rated it and you haven't reviewed it, just take a few minutes to do that. That would help us out so much on Spotify, on iTunes, on Stitcher, on YouTube, all of those things. Just give us a like, and man, it would help us out a ton. I think for now, though, we're going to get out of this episode, right?
Yeah.
Nothing
yeah,
loose, sure. No loose ends. Cool. We're going to get out of here. I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Luke.
Peace out.
Bye.
Hold on to your butts.